A lot of interesting people sitting around us. Lord, thank you so much that you love us. Thank you so much for all the different cultures and people. And we thank you that though we live in different places and speak different languages, we all understand there's a God who loves us and wants to bless us and have a relationship with us. And we pray that you help us understand a little bit more today about understanding how to know your will for our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's see your Bibles tonight. Say, word. Let's see your pens. Lesson plan. Let's turn to John chapter 16. John 16. John 16. 16. It is the fourth book of the New Testament, John 16. My wife just had eye surgery about 2-3 weeks ago. She had a lens taken out and replaced. She had a cataract. And they take your lens out. It's about 15-minute surgery. They put her half to sleep. She was awake. She could hear them talking. And they cut her eye open, take the lens out, put an artificial lens in. And when I look at her eye, I could see the lens inside kind of flickering. You know that movie Species where the I've been calling her alien. I'm like, ew, look at your eye, you know. And she looks at me like that. So before she got, you know, actually before and after the surgery, I've been going to the doctor with her and, you know, just asking the doctors a lot of questions. As you know, I ask a lot of questions and I ask doctors the questions. And you know, if I go to the doctor and he looks in her eye, I want to look in her eye. And matter of fact, when you go to the doctor, you should ask them to do to them what they do to you. You're paying, so, you know, you might as well learn something. You know, they want to look in your throat, you should look in their throat. So I'm asking, you know, doctor, what are you doing? What are you doing? What does that mean? What is that little, you know, what's that? If they hit her on the elbow and her arm goes, I want to hit her on the elbow and see if I can make it flick up, you know, And so I learned a lot about the eye. I've taken anatomy classes, so I understand, you know, something about the eye. But, you know, you always want to get a refresher. So I'm looking at the eye, and then I went in and I said, maybe I want to get my lenses fixed. You know, maybe you can go in my eyes, too. And so I don't think I'm going to do it. But I went in, had a two-hour examination the other day because I want to get rid of my glasses. Can't stand my glasses. And so I'm learning about the eye and what goes into your ability to see. What is LASIK surgery? I always want to know what that was, what they do, you know. And so your cornea, which is the outward bowl of your eye, the front of your eye, is a perfect shape of a circle. Matter of fact, when they have LASIK surgery, they make it more into a cone shape to change the direction of the vision that you have and the light coming in your eye. But your cornea collects light and image, goes through a protein. Right underneath your cornea is a protein fluid. And right behind that is your lens. Your lens is actually in a sac. And your lens has to be clear for you to see. Your lens also has to be flexible so the muscles can bend your lens to focus the light to the back of your eye where your retina is. And then inside your eyeball is a gel that's different from the protein in front of your eyeball. The eye is a very, very complex camera. By the way, the eye is the most advanced camera known to man. That's a fact. Matter of fact, if you ask any cameraman or any camera person or photographer, if they know anything about the eye and the camera, they will tell you how incredible the eye is. It's a camera. Matter of fact, the eye as a camera can focus on color, depth, motion, texture, all the things that we have to make cameras do and even then color correct after and you know, when you see stuff on TV. But your eye is an amazing camera. So your cornea has to be the right shape. Your lens has to be flexible. Your lens has to be clear. My wife's lens, when you get a cataract, your lens gets cloudy. And all those things plus other things. Your eyes have to track together. Some people's eyes don't track together. Like if you look right, both your eyes go together, and they look at the same thing twice. So you both your eyes are focused on one thing. Some people have astigmatism or conditions where the muscles don't work together and the eyes don't look the same direction, and they'll see two things. Okay, if you ever looked at somebody and their eyes both weren't looking at you, that is a condition, and their eyes will see two different things. So all these things have to work together for you to be able to see. But as we see from my conversation with Jenny, she sees with smell, or that enhances her ability to understand what's around her. I don't know about you, but when I get food, it may look good, it's got to smell good. Because if it don't smell good, I'm like, I don't know. Matter of fact, I didn't eat broccoli my whole life until about a year and a half ago. Why? Because it smells funky. Period. Doesn't broccoli stink? Okay, it smells like feet or something, I don't know. But when you eat it, it doesn't taste like it smells, my sister had been trying to convince me all my life, it doesn't taste like it smells. I'm like, that's okay. I mean, you can believe that. I don't want to try it because if you're wrong, I'm going to have feet in my mouth. Matter of fact, one of the reasons In-N-Out is so popular, besides the fact that food is the bomb, is that they pump, and I assume they do this. Matter of fact, I could be wrong, but I think they pump the smell out into the street, right? Do you smell it when you drive by, anybody? I mean, I drive by my motorcycle, I'm like, you know, done. But it's like they just pump it out, but it smells so good, and then, of course, it tastes as good as well. So smell, temperature will tell you about reality. Sound will tell you about reality. You know, when you're walking on concrete or wood or carpet, or, you know, you hear stuff around you if you're blindfolded or whatever, or even if you see it, you can hear stuff. So all those things come into play for you to understand reality, understand truth. When we talk about understanding what the will of God is for our life, there are a lot of factors that go into the will of God. Last week we started a 3-week series called Will I Am, which is the will of the great I Am God. Is that what is the will of God for your life? Now, I would imagine that all of us in here have questions about what we should do, decisions we're trying to make, that we would like to know God's decision or God's point of view for us. How many of you have a decision you would like to know God's will for? Okay, very good, very good. Now, it could be a short term, like, should I take this job? Should I date this person? Should I spend this money on this or invest this money in this? Or it can be long term, what do I study in school? What do I want to be when I grow up? How many of y'all are under 30? Good. Why do y'all scream? Is that you're happy to be under 30? I mean, okay. So that means when you're over 30, you're not going to be happy? You're not going to be happy when you're over 30? You'll find out. That's a very good question. If your life is any, yeah, that's right. I appreciate that. You'll find out. You may not be. You should be. I just turned 50. I'm excited. So everybody over 50. Here's all the 50 people. It's like 40 of us in here. Oh, yeah. Geritol power, old people. But when we talk about the will of God for your life, short term, long term, God has input, and the most important input for both. What does God want me to do tomorrow, and what does God want me to do for my life? And by the way, I was told by somebody who has since passed away, who is a very, very successful minister, Bill Bright, who started Campus Crusade for Christ. I met him maybe twice, and one of the times I was talking to him, he says, your most productive years, at least, was between, I think he said, 50 and 70. And at the time, I didn't know what he was talking about, but he says, you spend 30, 40 years trying to figure out what you're going to do, which is real, and then you get to around 40, 50, and you finally figure out what you want to do, then those years are so productive. And so though God may not tell you today what you're going to do when you're 50, if you say, God, what do you want me to do today so I can, when I get there, I'm in the right place, he wants to be involved in those decisions. So what we're going to look at is 5 different factors on how you can learn God's will. Now, all of you who have a decision or something you're thinking about that you would like God's input on, my encouragement to you is to be thinking about that as I'm talking, because God may reveal to you the answer today, or in the least, my prayer is that he'll get you moving down a path where you can find it, the answer. Oh, by the way, you may have something that you're wanting to know something about today, but you may also have something in your life that you would like to try that you have given up on because you have no clue where to even start. Anybody have something like that in your life? Ooh, good. I like that. Here we go. I want you to grab that. Grab that dream again. Don't let it go. Because God is going to encourage you today to pursue that. I'm going to say it again. There's some of you who have things that you would like to try, but you gave up on it because you wouldn't even know where to start, or you think it's so beyond you, you have no training, whatever, and you say, it never happened. I want you to grab that because God may have something for you today. God may have something for you today. He told me to write that in my notes today, so I'm glad you're out there because hopefully God will encourage you to go for it. Here's the worst thing that can happen. It don't work out, and you learn a lot. That's the worst thing that happened. You know, if you shoot for something really high and you miss, you may miss, but you look how much higher you are and the experience you have. Failure is way overrated, big time overrated. Pain is way overrated. It's never as bad as you think. It's not, and you always come out better in the end anyway. Okay, number one in your notes, God speaks through, number one, the Holy Spirit. Everyone say Holy Spirit. We did a series several months ago called The Invisible Man, referring to the Holy Spirit as an invisible man. And when I say man, I don't mean a human, but I do mean a person. God is a person. He's not a human. He's a person. Jesus Christ was human for 33 years, but he's spirit. God is spirit. And what makes you a person is not your physical body. It's your soul. If you cut off your legs and arms, you're still a person. You're still just as much a person as someone with arms and legs. Ginny's just as much a person, even though she can't see, as all the people who can see. It's really what's on the inside. We were made in the image of God. God is spirit. So what makes us like God is not our body. It's our heart. It's our spirit, our soul. God speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. Look what it says in verse 13 of chapter 16 of John. It says, this is Jesus speaking. However, when he, everyone says he. He, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, has come. He will guide you into all truth. When Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, he says, I am going to go to the Father, and then I'm going to send to you the Holy Spirit. And one of the things he will do is guide you in all truth. You just read it. He's also going to give you gifts, going to give you power. He's going to convict you of sin. But he's going to guide you in all truth. How many of you have met somebody that you were going to establish a relationship with, whether it be dating, business, social, hang out, playing the same team with, do whatever? And they were nice, and there was nothing really crazy wrong with them, in your opinion, by the way. But in your heart, you felt, you know what I'm talking about? It's just like, Do that with me on three. 1, 2, 3. Okay. And so someone asked you, so how'd it go? Did you like them? You go, yeah, you know, they were really nice, and they were this, but I don't know. It's just, I don't know. You ever feel, I don't know? You know, sometimes you don't need to know, except you don't know. In other words, the Holy Spirit will say, no. Not that person, not that opportunity, not this time, not this place. It may be a place you're going to move into, and it's nice, but it's something about that apartment. Nothing wrong with the apartment. God just don't want you there. And the Holy Spirit will speak to you with a small, still voice. It sounds like your conscience. You will probably not have James Earl Jones speak to you out of your closet. How many of you do not know who James Earl Jones is? Okay, what movie was he in that they would know? How many? Darth Vader. Do y'all know who Darth Vader is? How many of you who do not know James Earl Jones do know who Darth Vader is? That's the voice. Who? The Lion King. Okay, Mufasa. Okay.
That's James Earl Jones. You're not gonna say, "Dear God, should I move into this apartment?" Yes. You should move.
That's not gonna happen. What you're gonna hear is a little small still voice that sounds like your conscience. That's gonna tell you to do these radical stuff.
Hey, Miles. You need to quit your job. Go out on faith. I know you got 3 kids. Start a church.
Okay.
How am I going to get paid? Don't worry about it.
Okay. Just like that.
Hey, Miles, see that building over there? That building costs a whole lot more money. I can't even tell you. I'm not going to tell you now because it's way, way, way more than you have. But you should buy that building.
Okay. That's how it works. That's how it's worked for me. And all the Christians I know, that's how it works. No one's ever told me they heard James Earl Jones. It's always the smallest voice. You may get up tomorrow morning, or you may go to bed tonight. You may go home tonight, and you're used to going home, eating something, turn on TV, sit up there, bleh, eating, bleh, bleh. Call the boys. And you may get home, and no one's around, and God may say, "Hey, why don't you read the lesson plan?" Now you know that ain't you. It's the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will never disagree with this Bible. And if you hear the voice, obey the voice, watch what happens. Remember last week, if you were here last week, I talked about knowing God's will is a process. Part of the process is learning to obey and watch what happens. You obey and you see what happens. You do what God says, or you do what you think God's telling you, and then watch what happens. Notice how it makes you feel. Notice what God does in your heart. Notice the desires that change in your life. Notice the divine appointments that happen right after you do it. Just know, pay attention to what's going on. Don't walk around like, "I don't know what's going on." Notice what God's doing in your life. Number two, God speaks through creation. Now, I am fully aware that there's some of you in here who believe in evolution. I'm not going to ask you to identify yourself. God loves you. You're very welcome to be here. We're not saying you're not a Christian, and I'm not saying it has to do with whether you go to heaven or hell or not. But I do want to talk about it a little bit because God's creation is a very significant symbol of God to us. Now, symbol, probably the wrong word. Evidence of God. Now, let me say this. I would imagine of all of you who believe in evolution, many of you probably have different definitions of what that even means. Some of you may say that everything is by chance, and some billions of years ago, something blew up, and we happened to grow out of an amoeba and wiggle our way out of a swamp, and here we are today, and then God happened to be there somewhere. Some of you may have that definition. Some of you may say God started everything, and then he let it happen, okay? And some of you may have other definitions. I'm going to tell you what I believe the Bible says, that God created everything from nothing, and that he is involved in every area of our life and every aspect of our life, and he did it in 6 days. And I'm going to tell you even better than that, he probably did it in 6 minutes on different days because he didn't need the whole day. He just said, "Let it be," and it was there. That's the God I serve, is that big and bad, okay? Now, if God, and I'm not here to argue that. I'm really just kind of here. I don't want to get into arguing a bit to talk about that. But I really want to say that just so we know what we're talking about, because when we say creation, we are meaning that God, out of nothing, created everything, and that he has not only created it and started it, but he is involved in sustaining it. Because that's a very distinct difference. And why that's important is because God has not set you in motion or the human race in motion and let us figure it out by ourselves. He wants to be involved in every area of your life. So it's not a religion that we're trying to do things good on our own, that God wants to be intimately involved in our life, and that's a very distinct difference. So we want to be clear as what we're talking about. Now, before I get into these verses, let me say this. I'm going to talk about intelligent design because this has to do with understanding God's will. and how creation and created things help us understand God's will for our individual lives. And so some of y'all's decisions that you're struggling with, creation will answer those questions for some of you. Intelligent design says, based on the design of created things, it is evident that they were created with a purpose. And because they didn't have the ability to create themselves, they were created by something else. For example, these glasses that are on my head, I am 100% positive that there's nobody in this room that would look at these glasses and say, yes, they are designed for my head, which we all agree. It wraps around my ear. It has a rim with glasses in them that are shaped to be in front of my eyes with the right prescription to enable me to see. There's little nipples here for my nose, so it sits on my nose, and it fits perfect and enables me to see. I think we would all agree that these glasses serve a purpose, and they do not have the ability to have created themselves to serve that purpose. Do you all agree to that? Okay, so that is the evidence that someone designed them because they couldn't have designed themselves. And they were obviously designed because they serve a purpose. Same thing can be said for your shirts, blouses, or sweaters. Some of your shirts have buttons. Some of your shirts have zippers. Some of your shirts are pullover. But there's a hole for the head to go through, a hole for sleeves, and then it hangs down here. And some of your shirts and blouses are designed to cover stuff. Some of your stuff is designed to reveal stuff, amen? But we all know what they're designed for. They have a purpose. Some of y'all designed to minimize and maximize your sexy, but we all know that they're designed for that. Can I get amen? And so when you go into the store, what do? You know, not only do you know when you look at it what you're trying to do, but you know that specific designers have a certain style. But none of you, and I mean none of you, would go into a store and say, I want a shirt that was never designed by anybody, because you know that doesn't exist. Shoes. Shoes are designed to go wrap around your feet and protect your skin from the concrete. And the shoelaces are designed to hold it on your foot. We all know that. And we all know that someone designed it because the shoe couldn't have done it in itself. I can go on and on to the break of dawn. Matter of fact, all the seats that y'all are sitting in, every seat you're sitting in, was designed to put you behind in the seat. It has armrests to put your arms here, and some of them are 19, 21, and 21 inches. I know that because I picked them out, because some people got a little booty and some people got a big booty. And every seat in here has a number on it, and every seat in here has a Bible verse on it, and there's 66 sections of seats, 66 books in the Bible. We have every book in the Bible represented in this room. So you would say, there's no way that was an accident. And there's no way that these seats lined up in these sections to face the stage by accident. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
There's nobody in here would believe that was an accident. Yet someone would try to convince you that you, who are infinitely more complex than any of the things I describe, is an accident. That just doesn't make sense. But that's the evolution thing. Here's my point. God created everything with a purpose. Just like shoes are created with a purpose, glasses are made with a purpose, pants are made with a purpose, buildings are made with a purpose. God made you and everything he created, the animals, with a purpose. And when you use those things outside of their purpose, they break or die. If you use these glasses for a shoe, they break. If you use shirts for rags, they break, they rip. If you use something contrary to its purpose, it will die. Whenever you want to argue with someone about right and wrong, you know how you argue with right and wrong? Right and wrong has to do with life and death. And by the way, anyone who tells you that there's no right and wrong, just the fact that they say that means that there's right and wrong, because they're telling you that something's right and something's wrong. In other words, they're telling you, I am right to tell you there's no right and wrong. There's no such thing. Some things are wrong and some things are right. We all know rape is wrong. We all know murder is wrong. We all know everything you see on Nancy Grace, all those people do on Nancy Grace is wrong. We know that. And so we all know there's right and wrong. And you know how you know right and wrong? Life and death. When something is used according to God's intention, it lasts. It breathes life. Your lungs are like bubble wrap. Do y'all know bubble wrap, the little plastic bubbles you pop like that? Does anybody not know what that is? Bubble wrap is plastic with little, these plastic sheets with little bubbles, and you pop them, they're full of air, and you wrap stuff in them. Your lungs are like bubble wrap. They are little tiny sacks, millions of little sacks, condensed like a side, it looks like beef, it looks like meat because it's so thick. And when you inhale, these little sacks called alveolar sacks open up, pop, 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 they fill up with air that you inhale. And when they fill up, the membrane, the outside of the bubble wrap, each little bubble, the blood is in that from your body. The oxygen you inhale goes through the membrane of the bubble wrap into the blood, and the blood releases the CO2 into the lung, and you exhale it out, just like that. Ooh, that's God. That's God. Now, by the way, if that took even a week to evolve, forget a week, if that took an hour to evolve, you would die. So if you're dead, how do you evolve? You can't. God made it. Boom, man. Hey, there you go. That's how it happened. And he breathed life, whew, into his body. But here's the point. When people say, can I smoke a cigarette? Can I be a Christian and go cigarette? Yeah, you can be saved and smoke a cigarette. I'm not saying cigarette. Go ahead, smoke. But here's the thing. When you smoke a cigarette or pot like I did, I didn't smoke cigarettes. I went to weed. When you smoke a cigarette back when I was a kid, you are lining the bubble wrap with tar. So you are defeating the purpose of the lung. And eventually, it'll kill you. So when you ask, can I do that? You are contradicting the intent of the design. That's how you know you shouldn't do it. So when you say, well, I'm struggling with a decision, does your decision go against God's purpose based on his design of your body, of a relationship, of a principle? That's one of the ways you can know. Well, I think that I'm going to, you know, I'm dating this girl, but this other girl, she likes me, so I think I could go 2-for-1. Well, I can tell you now, that ain't going to work out because that's not how relationships work. So you can think about it all you want. I've actually had people come and want me to pray for them to have wisdom on something like that. I'm like, brother, you don't need a pastor for that. That ain't going to work out. And if you get a bone quickie, you don't get cut, girl. For all y'all know who bone quickie is, you're in John. Turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Look what it says. It says in Romans chapter 1, verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. Let me read verse 19 again. What may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. What God is saying there is that I made all of you in my image, and I created you in a way that you would seek who I am. That you would want to know who I am. That you want to have a relationship with me. I made you that way. So the only reason you're denying who I am is because you are willfully resisting me, is what God is saying. I created you. I know what you think. I know what you're supposed to feel because I designed you in such a way to seek me. This is what God is saying. It's amazing how many people say they don't believe in God, but when their life is on the line, they are praying big time. Because they know. I heard a stat, something like 18 or 21% of atheists believe in God. I don't know what that means. But think about it. If you're an atheist, if God doesn't exist, what are you arguing against? There's nothing there. Why are you going to start an organization to fight nothing? They know. They know. Look what it says in verse 20. Since the creation of the world, does your Bible say creation? That's what it says. The Bible, the very first verse in the whole Bible, in the beginning, God created. All the way to Revelation, God created. Since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen. What are his invisible attributes? His love, his wisdom, his power, his strength, his creativity. his intelligence. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that men are without excuse. What it's basically saying is that God says, not only have I put in you the ability and a desire to know me, I have given you enough evidence by what I made to prove to you that there's a designer, that you have no excuse. Do you know that a jellyfish is like 95% water? It has no blood, no blood, no blood. This blood. How many of y'all know that, what I'm talking about? Blood, it's not funny, it's blood. 95% something water, no blood, no brains. They have no brain. But they'll jack you up. They can't even, they're just like, I mean, the currents, waves going, and they just, whatever the way, hey, whatever, I'm going, wherever. But they'll kill you. I almost drowned 4 years ago. Literally, 4 years ago, my daughter and I were out in the ocean. We were on vacation. My family's on vacation. My sister used to live in the Caribbean. So we went down there, and we went out on a kayak, and my mask fell in the water. So I jumped in the water. The current took it away, so I jumped in the water, tried to swim in it, and I went down like 50 feet, just holding my breath, trying to get the thing. So as I was coming up, you know, sharks were going by, and I got stung by all these jellyfish, and my eyes, my nose started running. My body was leaking, and I was stinging everywhere. And my daughter's kayak, the kayak she was in, was drifting away. We were getting separated, and it was deep water. And I was screaming, ah, I was like just getting stung everywhere. And I never saw any of them. And I said, I need to get back to that kayak. And I got back to the kayak, was just hauling back, stinging everywhere. I was leaking. I didn't know, you know, everything was just running. And I didn't know what was going to happen. I just didn't know what was going to happen. Luckily, I wasn't allergic to whatever hit me. But let me tell you something. 90-something percent water, no brains, no blood, no bones. Yeah, they got power. And there's a whole bunch of different kinds. My point is this, if you study what God has made, if you look at the Life series that is on TV, and just watch what God has made, everything works. Animals reproduce, they migrate, they do their thing. We don't need to get in, we mess it up. And God says, I'm putting all this in motion, and by the way, all these animals are going to be so different. Even women and men, look how different we are, our bodies are. I was talking to my gynecologist recently, I'm offended right now. Talking to my gynecologist. Just going over some tests. My wife's gynecologist is my gynecologist. So we were in there talking, and I was asking her to show me in pictures in the book. Because if I see it, I got to see it. So we were looking at different pictures of different things, and we started talking about ovaries and eggs. You know, I'm sure all you women know that you're born with all your eggs for your whole life when you're born. I know guys, a lot of guys don't know this, but women are born with all their eggs. They're born with all their eggs. They don't produce any eggs after they're born. Guys produce sperm all the time, so we're opposite that way. So I was asking her, well, if one egg at a time ovulates, or you know, comes down and gets planted in the uterus or whatever y'all do, how does the body know which side the egg is going to come from? Because you got eggs on this side, eggs on this side. And how does the body know? You ladies don't know this answer to this question, do you? See, you're laughing at me. I'm going to educate you about your own stuff. So what happens is Both sides are kind of like, you know, okay, we're going to release the egg around that time of the month. And then whichever side happens to release the egg in time before the other one, because it's random, it'll send estrogen out to the other side and tell the other side, stop. That's what happens. Now you think, what's the point? Well, to me, it's called design. It's called strategy. It's called intelligence. It's called communication. It's called ingenious. It's called creator. All of that. And so what God is saying is that if you really look at what I made and you really think about it, there is no way I don't exist. Ask your doctor. Whatever doctor you have, next time you go to a doctor, let them do whatever they're going to do to you, look in your throat, whatever, and say, hey, doc, I have a question for you. What you know about the body, is there any way it could have been an accident? And they will look at you like this. Absolutely not. But here's a big thing. Is that God created everything with an intent and a purpose, and if you are going to make a decision against the intent or purpose, wrong decision. Some of you in here hate math. Never get a job doing math. Don't do it. Some of you here don't like counseling. Don't counsel. I don't like counseling. I mean, you know, sitting there for hours and hours, week in and week. I don't like doing it. I'm not gifted to do it. Could I do it? Yeah, I can figure it out. I know stuff. Does God call me to do that? No. So when people want me to do it, I say no. No. I'll talk to you right now. Let's talk a little bit. But that's just not my thing. It's not what God called me to do. So why should I go against God's design? I'm going to be miserable. You're going to be miserable. God ain't going to be happy. So why do it? But see, all of y'all need to know, what has God called me to do? Because if you're not doing that, your life is going contrary to his will for your life big picture. So most everything else is going to be a struggle. So the first thing you need to do is have a relationship with Christ and have him show you why he created you. What gifts he's given you, what interests he's given you. And when you find that, you will be in the will of God and you'll be so excited, so happy to get up every day because you can't wait to be alive, to live. But if you're going in the wrong direction saying, God, I'm trying to make this work, I'm trying to make this work, I'm trying to make this work, God is saying none of that stuff's going to work. It's not going to work. And people, and this is my opinion, but I really believe this, most people don't get there. They live their life on their terms, trying to make things work their way, and they never really experience the joy of what God had them for in the beginning, in the first place. They are glasses trying to be socks. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your time. Next one, godly counsel. God speaks through godly counsel. Turn to Proverbs, middle of the Bible, chapter 11. I know I have chapter 15 in your notes, so I'm going to give you a different one. 11:14. How many of you would love to understand how to learn and grow how to understand the Bible better? Raise your hand. Very good. How many of you would love to have a regular daily reading schedule where you read the Bible every day and you got something out of it? In 2 weeks, I'm going to start a series to teach you how to do that. And it's going to go from May 2nd all the way to Christmas. And this series is called The Royal. And it's about a young boy who was born into a royal family. His parents die, and he is raised by an old sage who mentors him to prepare him to take over his father's kingdom. And in order to prepare him to take over his father's kingdom, he trains him in 7 different books. And these 7 different books are designed to prepare him in 7 different ways to rule his father's kingdom. And what we're going to learn as we go through this story is that we're going to learn that God is trying to prepare us to rule in his kingdom. And in the Bible, there are many different writing styles. We call them biblical genres, writing genres. And each one of these literary styles are designed to equip us in a different way for us to rule our Father's kingdom. So we're going to take each genre, we're going to do it for 3 weeks, each genre for 3 weeks. And what we're going to do is we're going to do three lessons of genre. So we'll really spend a little time in it. And we're going to give you a devotional that you read every single day in between those Sundays for 3 weeks to practice the rules we give you on understanding those genres. And so it'll go from May 2nd all the way to December 19th. It's 24 messages and, you know, there's off days in there, but it's going to be 8 3-week chunks. And at the end of that, hopefully, not hopefully, if I do my job and you do your part, which is to come every week and put into practice the homework we give you, which is basically a 10, 15-minute reading every day, you're going to learn and get a better understanding of the Bible. And so the reason I'm telling you this story is because when I started thinking about this a couple months ago, I started going to a bunch of people asking them their advice on how to put this together. Artists, pastors, graphics people, production people, marketing people, professors. How do we put all this together? What is the information? And we've been working on it pretty much constantly for the last couple months. And hopefully it's going to be good for you. But the point is that not to do it by yourself. And so some of you have this question you're wondering, and especially for all you youngins in here, is that you would make sure that not only do you ask people their opinion, but make sure within the group of people you talk to that there are some experts. If you want to work on a career, go find someone who has mastered that and talk to them. If you want to start a business, go find someone who's mastered and been successful in that business and talk to them. People who are successful, for the most part, they want to help. They may seem intimidating to you or whatever, but they want to help. They want to share what they know. They really do. And if you find someone who's grumpy at you, that is not the norm. Because I'm going to tell you, probably, I'm assuming, if I really think about it, on a daily basis, I ask people for advice. Just about every day. I told you recently I was involved in 5 legal battles, just, you know, stuff with the church and other stuff. That was dealing with 7 lawyers. And it's constantly talking. What about this? I would never do that stuff by myself. That would be ridiculously ignorant. You find people who are better than you, who are experts, and you ask them advice, ask them for help. That's the only. And I guarantee you this: not one successful person has ever been successful without doing that all the time. Never. You see people who are smart, who are getting along and doing stuff, they are not, and I repeat, they are not, and I repeat 3 times, not doing that without a multitude of counsel. So you don't do it. It is a young, ignorant thing to think, I'm going to do this by myself. That's dumb. You ain't going to make it. You will not make it. It just won't happen. So look what it says. I don't know if I read it. Let's read it again. 11:14. It says, 11:14, where there is no counsel, people fall. Where there is no counsel, the people fall, but in the multitude of counsels, there's safety. In the multitude of counsels, there's safety. My encouragement to you, if you have, I got a question, I don't know about this, go find the smartest people you can find and ask them. And you will be amazed at how many smart people want to give you free advice. Because believe me, like I said, I know a lot of successful people, and 99.999% of them love to pour into people and help. It happens all the time. Number 4, God speaks through visions and dreams. Yes, in your dream and vision, he can communicate to you. That's probably the biggest mysterious way that things happen. And I wouldn't wake up from a dream and say, you know, I'm going to marry Halle Berry, because that ain't going to happen. The last one, God speaks through his word, both written and spoken. Turn to Psalm, right before Proverbs, Psalms 119. Psalm 119. When we learn about the Bible and how to read it, this book right here, the Psalms, is probably the most read book in the whole Bible. Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible. Psalm 118 is the middle chapter in the Bible. Psalm 117 is the shortest chapter in the Bible. But God wrote Psalms for this reason. God says, I'm going to teach you how to cry out to me. How many of you have ever had someone that you really mad at and you wanted God to, something bad to happen to them, but you really didn't want to say, you didn't want to do it yourself. You wanted someone else to do it. Okay. You know what God says? I'm going to teach you how to ask me to do it. Really? If you want me to take vengeance on your enemies, I'm going to teach you how to do it. And there are Psalms in here that I'm going to show you that you can pray to God so he will get your enemies. How many of y'all want that one, like right today? Okay. But let me tell you, there's a catch. There's a catch. It's these Psalms, in so many words, are the equivalent of saying, God, you are loving and merciful and just. So do to them whatever's fair and according to your great mercy. And by the way, I know that if you do it to them for that reason, you're going to do it to me for the same reason. But it's up to God. But my point is that God tells you how to pray for your enemies, how to complain to God for your life. Has anybody ever wanted to complain to God? He says, you know what? I'm going to teach you how to complain to me. You want to praise me? I'm going to teach you how to praise me. You want to honor me? Teach you how to, want to thank me? I'm going to teach you how to thank me. It's all in Psalms. So when you read it, there's all these prayers in there to teach you how to communicate to God. But look what it says here in Psalm 119, verse 9. How can a young man cleanse his way? Everybody say how. By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. Here you are, young man and young woman, saying, God, how do I live a pure life? How do I make decisions that please you? How? Just do what I say. Simple. Do what I say. Don't contradict my word, and your way will be cleansed. So here you are today saying, I think I should move with my girlfriend. Well, what does the Bible say? I think I should lie on my taxes, even though your taxes say, so I can make more money. What does the Bible say about lying? I think I should take revenge on my enemies and undermine them and talk behind their back. Well, what does the Bible say about gossip? I think I should just go to church once a month and say I'm really going and steal from the bookstore, and God will just hook me up because I just say I'm a Christian. What does the Bible say about hypocrisy? It's all right here. If you want to cleanse your way, obey the word. And if you want to test it, do it for a week. You all know stuff in your life that needs to change and be amended to the word of God. See what happens. First thing that has to happen is you have to give your life to him. Acknowledge that you're a sinner, and acknowledge that God wants to have a relationship with you so two can become one. When two people get married, two people become one. That's a metaphor of our relationship with Jesus. Two become one. And so the first thing you do is say, Lord, I need to become one with you so I can walk with you, and you can walk with me, and you can mold and shape me into the image that you created me to be and the person you created me to be so I can do what you want me to do. That's the first step. Because if you try to live for God without God, if you try to obey God without God, how are you to do that? And so we're going to pray here in a minute. And you have an opportunity to say, Lord, I know your desire is that you have a relationship with me. So I'm going to take a step tonight, the first step tonight, that I can start walking with you and becoming the person you want me to be. Let's all bow our heads and pray.